That is the school bell for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And so get your Bibles at this time. Turn to Isaiah chapter 11. We're going to continue our study of this beautiful prophecy from Isaiah about Christ. And particularly note where it says in Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1 that there would be a branch that would come from Jesse. Of course, Jesse being the father of David, this is talking about the Christ that would be of the lineage of Jesse and David, and how that he would rule someday when he came on the earth. And we'll see about that prophecy. So be turning in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 11. And while you're doing that, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And today we're studying a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of December the 23rd, 1923. In the text, Isaiah 11, verse 1, "There shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit." At the close of our last class period, we were talking about some of these scriptures that referenced that branch. Let me read to you this from Isaiah 4, verses 2 through 3, where it says, "In that day shall the branch of Jehovah be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, every one that is written therein among the living in Jerusalem." I want to also look at this, what it talks about this branch in the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. "Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men that are a sign. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have set before Jehovah, upon one stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith Jehovah of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith Jehovah of hosts, ye shall invite every man his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree." That branch then referring to the Messiah that would come. And again, in that same prophet, Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 through 13, "Thus speaketh Jehovah of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of Jehovah, even he shall build the temple of Jehovah, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both." This is referring to that branch, that one that would come out of that stump of Jesse, of the seed of David. That tree would be cut down, but the roots would be living, and a branch would spring forth out of that roots, Jesus of Nazareth, and he would reign as both king, and he would be priest. We might also refer here to the New Testament, Acts chapter 13 and verse 23, where we read, "I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who shall do all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to promise, brought unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." Sometimes on account of sin, the people of God were so scattered and reduced that they were represented only by the stump of a tree cut to the ground, or even a root in a dry land. But there was always a remnant. Adam Clark, in his commentary, has this to say: "We have here a remarkable instance of that method so common with the prophets, and particularly with Isaiah, of taking occasion from the mention of some great temporal deliverance to launch out into the display of the spiritual deliverance of God's people by the Messiah. For that this prophecy refers to the Messiah, we have the express authority of St. Paul in Romans chapter 15 and verse 12, a passage we have read earlier that quotes this very passage, or at least Isaiah 11 and verse 10, which relates to Isaiah 11 verse 1, talking about how this is the Christ, and all the peace in that holy mountain refers to the Gentiles coming together with the Jews in the church of Christ. Going back to Isaiah 11 and verses 2 and 3, we read, "And the Spirit of Jehovah shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of Jehovah. And his delight shall be in the fear of Jehovah. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears, but with righteous judgment shall he judge the poor." Going on reading to verse 5, "And decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins." These verses give the spirit and judgment of this one to come from the family of Jesse. His spirit was to be the spirit of Jehovah, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Listen to these prophecies and note their fulfillments. In Isaiah 42, 1 through 4, the prophet wrote, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry, nor lift up his voice, nor cause it to be heard in the street. A bruised reed will he not break, and a dimly burning wick will he not quench. He will bring forth justice in truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he hath set justice in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." We know this was fulfilled in Jesus, because in Matthew 12, verses 14 through 21, we read these words: "The Pharisees went out and took counsel against him, how they might destroy him. And Jesus, perceiving it, withdrew from thence, and many followed him, and he healed them all. And he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying," and then here's that passage, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall declare judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry aloud, neither shall anyone hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles hope." Here's another prophecy from Isaiah about the Christ. This one in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. "The Spirit of the Lord Jehovah is upon me, because Jehovah hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of Jehovah's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the plantings of Jehovah, that he may be glorified. We find this pointing to a fulfillment in the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 16 through 22. We're talking about Jesus. It says, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and entered, as his custom was, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. And here's that prophecy we just read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, Today hath this scripture been fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness and wondered at the words of grace which proceeded out of his mouth. You see, God sent the Spirit upon Jesus when he was baptized. And by this, John the Baptist was to know that Jesus was the Christ. We read about that in Matthew chapter 3, 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John would have hindered him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, Suffer it now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway from the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And lo, out of the heavens a saying, a voice, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We read again in the epistle, or in the book of John, chapter 1, verses 32 through 34. And John bare witness, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but that he sent me to baptize in water. He said unto me, Upon whomsoever thou shalt see the Spirit descending and abiding on him, the same is he that baptizeth in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have bore witness that this is the Son of God. Here is what John says in John chapter 3, verses 34 through 36 about Jesus receiving the Spirit. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for he giveth not the Spirit by measure. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Jesus has the power and the wisdom of God, the righteousness and the justice of God, the love and mercy and tenderness of God, his teaching and wonderful works on earth, his gentleness and grace, his reign in heaven. Show the wisdom and power, his grace and his godly fear. His delight was in the fear of Jehovah. In his prayers and tears and agony, he was heard for godly fear. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, where it says, Who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers of supplication and strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and having been heard for his godly fear, for he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation. We're about out of time today. We'll continue this in our next class period.